Hey everyone, it's Daisha. So in this episode, you're going to be learning stuff from Jason Vio. Jason is a Grammy-winning guitarist, and he's been on the show before. It was an episode called Band of Outsiders, which was also really great. He's amazing, he's a great teacher, and you're going to love him. Also, I have to take just a minute to acknowledge that today, the day I'm recording this voice track on, is Canada Day. And I learned today that on Canada Day, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police perform this thing called the Musical Ride, where all 32 Mounties do a choreographed dance on horseback. And I don't know what music they perform this musical ride to, but I do know two things. One, that it's almost definitely Shania Twain, or maybe Bryan Adams. And two, that this makes me love our neighbors to the north even more. Happy Canada Day, Canadians. By the way, if you haven't already, check out our website at classicalclassroomshow.com. Not only can you connect with us, listen to past episodes, look at pretty pictures, but you can also make a one-time or recurring gift to the podcast. Just look for the little tip jar button. By the way, our friends at New Y made this amazing website, and they can make one for you too. Learn more about them at classicalclassroomshow.com/NW. That's N as in new, and W as in Y. Last but not least, don't forget to subscribe to, rate, and review our podcast wherever you listen. It's just the decent thing to do. And now, on with the show. Let me try that again. And now, on with the show. I don't know. That didn't sound right either. And now, on with the show. There's a rumor going around that classical music can be hoity-toity. But here in the classical classroom, we beg to differ.
Beethoven 5.
The idea that classical music is a zone where we have to feel restricted or we have to act in a certain way, you know, that's not going to be helpful going forward.
Isaiah is shaking with excitement.
Oh, I mean, there's just so many great parts of the opera.
He asked me to play his favorite spot in the first movement of the Brahms. And then he said, I started using those licks in my guitar solos.
How to be classical music rock stars, because there's not enough of that in this business.
Occasionally, I would plug in the mandolin to my distortion pedals.
I don't change my voice.
And talking to classical music.
I'm playing classical music now. I mean, it's the same 12 notes. That's what's so cool about it.
I'm Daisha Clay, a classical music newbie, and I'm trying to learn all I can about the music. Come learn with me and the classical music experts I invite into the Classical Classroom. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Classical Classroom. I'm Daisha Clay, and here with me all the way from Cleveland is Grammy-winning classical guitarist Jason Vio. Jason has performed as concerto soloist with over 100 orchestras. He's actually been on the Classical Classroom once before with Julian Labro, and whose name I'm almost always saying incorrectly, and we talked about their unorthodox classical music instruments in that episode, the guitar and the bandoneon, respectively. Today, though, I'm hoping that Jason will teach me about the music of composer Jonathan Leshnoff, whose music he performs on his new CD. Jason, welcome back to the Classical Classroom.
Thanks, Daisha. It's great to be here again.
So tell me, Jonathan Leshnoff is a living composer, which we don't usually, I think we... It's pretty rare for us to go into like a profile type conversation on Classical Classroom about a living composer, but his work is pretty compelling. So tell me about who he is, where he's from, and kind of what he's known for.
Well, Jonathan Leshnoff is based in the Baltimore area. He has his music played by a lot of really major orchestras around the world, and I came to know him because I was asked to play this concerto with Nashville Symphony, which is a wonderful orchestra, and also record these three live concerts where I would play the concerto and then make a live recording out of those three performances.
So can you explain a little bit more about that? This is the process you do instead of like a studio recording?
Sure. Now, this is a brand new piece. Well, not brand new, but it's pretty new in classical music standards. And I was asked to make the recording of it. And a live recording, you have to record all three of those. You record the numbers of concerts there. And then you hopefully, you know, especially because it is, as a concerto should be, a technically demanding piece, you hope that you're ready enough so that they can make a live recording from it.
Okay, so you can like cut between each performance and have the best or like most accurate version, like whatever makes sense.
That's right.
Speaking of the challenges of this piece, this particular concerto, from what I was reading, was composed by like Jonathan Leshnoff doesn't actually play guitar, or he didn't play guitar.
Right, that's correct.
That has always been a real mystery to me. How can you compose for an instrument that you don't play? Like, how do you know what to do? That's like a dumb question, but...
Well, no, it's not a dumb question at all. In fact, I mean, composers, especially the very best ones, they work very hard. And Baltimore has a lot of very fine guitar players. Of course, he worked with Manuel Barroeco, one of the greatest guitar players that's ever lived, in my opinion. In Baltimore, Barroeco has been an international touring artist and one of the most important ambassadors of our instrument for over 30 years. And he worked with Manuel to ask questions and say, does this work or does this work? Mm. And so there was a lot of feedback from Manuel on the piece originally. My part, for my end of things, actually, I just had to learn it. You know, Manuel really, and you know, did... the work in terms of helping Jonathan to make sure that the notes fit on the guitar and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, so he basically had a guitar consultant with him to try this stuff out. Okay.
Yeah, I think the most successful guitar pieces, whether they're solo pieces or chamber music or concerto, usually have this advisor kind of role from the guitar player. I mean, the Concierto de Aranjuez was written for Regino Sens de la Maza, who must have been an incredible player from Spain. Mm-hmm. And Rodrigo's second concerto, the Fantasía para un Gentil Hombre, was written for Andrés Segovia. And Andrés Segovia was famous for having a lot of input in terms of the fashioning. Yeah. You know, in terms of fashioning a guitar part. So yeah, it's and Julian Bream, you know, kind of another one of my big heroes, working with Benjamin Britten, Toru Takemitsu, William Walton, Leo Brower, and you know, and these composers, you know, to have that feedback from the guitarist, because like the harp, the guitar is more similar to the harp and unlike the piano, where you see the notes kind of in a row in a line going from low to high. The guitar, and even more so with the harp, it's a little bit more mechanical. So in this case of the guitar, we have the note in the same pitch on three or even four different strings.
Yeah. I'd never heard anything like it where there was a classical guitar sitting in with an orchestra. Was that difficult, just technically speaking, because of the volume, or were you just mic'd and everything was fine?
Well, actually... the guitar has a long history of being a concerto soloist with orchestras. Of course, for your listeners, which they may have already learned about this on your show, the concerto is a type of piece of classical music where an instrumentalist is the soloist, and they basically stand or sit in front of the orchestra. And so that piece is meant to, of course, have orchestral a sound, and a big, you know, big orchestral sound with lots of instruments and lots of colors and lots of sound. But that instrumentalist kind of sitting in front is also more featured. Basically kind of like a primary instrumental feature. And they're playing very virtuosic runs that are technically supposed to be challenging. And so the most famous example in history of a guitar concerto is the Concierto de Aranjuez by Spanish composer Joaquin Rodrigo, written in 1939. Mm-hmm. And I've played that piece about 200 times
my
career.
Wow.
And in fact, I just came from Knoxville with the symphony there a few days ago, performing that concerto for a couple nights.
So the idea of recording this work, Leshnoff's Concerto for Guitar, it's a new concerto, and you're recording it as potentially this, like, the new primary recorded version of the piece. That sounds really intimidating already, but also it sounds like the piece itself is very hard to play. I'm not a guitarist, but this all sounds very challenging.
Yeah, it was, it took, I wanted to make sure I spent a lot, you know, enough time on it to get it ready, because when I prepare a new piece of music, of course, I'm doing it in hotel rooms, not just at home on the little bits of time when I'm home, mm-hmm. but in hotel rooms, even sometimes even after another performance of other music.
Yeah.
So I was carrying around this guitar part with me for 4 months on the road, and trying to make sure I got enough hours on it to make sure it was really comfortable, that I was comfortable with it, mainly because it was going to be live, you know, recorded live, and that the final product of the CD is going to, you know, basically be from the recording of those three concerts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a great challenge and, of course, well worth it when the piece is as good as this one is.
Okay, so I now can't wait to listen to this with you. Let's just start at the beginning. Can you give me an idea of what we're hearing?
Well, in the first movement, of course, there's quite a lot of activity from the guitar, and it introduces a wonderful, very strong kind of, I don't know, for me, is kind of a heroic theme, and it starts out right away with some pretty blazing fast scales.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. You know, I've seen and I've listened to a lot of guitarists, but it still amazes me how fast you can play. When I'm listening to this, it almost sounds like it's describing something specific in the music, like a place or event or something.
The music is very evocative, you know, for a lot of people. And some people have even described the music as cinematic. And I think what that means is in the sense that it's not really evoking any images in particular, but because, you know, Jonathan is such a great storyteller with the music kind of takes you on a journey, and it has a kind of a narrative arc that is that basically tells its own story. And so that first movement is, very daring and very virtuosic.
Yeah. That is so cool. I really like this one. So, but let's move on to the second movement.
The second movement, which is called Hod, I believe spelled H-O-D, is very atmospheric, almost kind of time almost stops in that movement. And I remember for me, what the thing that was really special with working with Jonathan on is he kept imploring me to play slower. To really, really take my time and not be in any hurry to get to the next note.
Yeah.
To really shape and to he said almost to make, I want each of the notes to glow. So in other words, not to try to shape them like a traditional classical phrase, but to play at a very, very slow tempo so that the harmonies coming from the strings and the brass and also there's a lot of work with the guitar and the harp in that, in the harpist and the orchestra on that movement. And so just a very beautiful, spiritual, almost mystical kind of thing, otherworldly type of music in that second movement.
Yeah. This is really beautiful. I feel I feel really relaxed listening to this. Calgon, take me away.
Really very beautiful and very moving for me, actually. Once I was able to slow down myself to play at that tempo that he wanted, it's almost like the music had to be written at that tempo for the effect, the musical effect, to take place.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. I love that description of, like, that he wanted the notes to glow.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Once I kind of got where he was going with that, it just happened at that point. It was really amazing.
Yeah. That is so cool. Okay, so I guess there's more we should discuss. What do we get in the third movement?
Third movement has a bit of a Spanish kind of flair to it. Jonathan says that movement was, in fact, inspired by Concierto de Aranjuez, the famous Joaquin Rodrigo guitar concerto. Mm-hmm.
That's so, like, distinctively Spanish. This is what I personally sort of associate with classical guitar. Like, almost what I expect when I am going to be hearing classical guitar. It's so cool. What is it about Leshnov's work that draws you to it? Like, what would you say is unique about his work?
Well, I mean, I would say that there's this narrative thread that pulls the listener along, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this narrative arc is the kind of thing that a lot of really good composers, I would say, not just even in classical music genres, but other things like, music, I think it's well known that I admire the music of jazz musician Pat Metheny. And I
mm-hmm.
think at Pat's best, he also has this very strong narrative, so that the music is almost telling its own story. And as it unfolds in real time, you are almost kind of taken on a journey. And I think that Jonathan's music is very much in line with that.
And now, a word from our sponsor. This episode of Classical Classroom is sponsored by Maestro Classics, creators of Stories in Music. It's a recorded series they made for kids and their families, and it's won more than 50 awards, not to mention just general adoration from the people who listen to it. It features the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and it takes these musical stories and brings them to life. It's kind of one of those things where kids learn while having fun, so they don't actually notice that they're learning too. There's an activity book that goes along with it. It's a whole thing. Maestro Classics just announced a brand new recording in this series called Bach and the Organ. It's all about J.S. Bach, who you may have heard of, and it tells the story of his life while talking about the pipe organ, which back in the day was the most advanced mechanical instrument that existed. Learn more about this album and the rest of that series at maestroclassics.com, and, bonus, save 17% off your order by using coupon code CLASSROOM. And now back to my chat with Jason Vio. I want to talk for just a minute about another piece on the album, which I think is so interesting, is the Symphonium Number 4, and I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Haikalos? Haikalos?
Haikalos? Yeah, Haikalos. I think something like this. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure either.
So this album of Leshnov's music was released on Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Yes.
And that's kind of linked to this piece, I think. Tell me about the piece and the significance of the release date for the album.
Much of Jonathan's music, from what I understand, is inspired by Jewish spirituality.
Hmm.
And so he's quite committed and very devout to the religion. And so the symphony, and the symphony was played on violins that have been in a collection that were collected from people who played them during the Holocaust.
Uh-huh.
So these instruments were actually played by people that were having to experience this horrible event. And so the Symphony 4 has special significance, to that, and speaks to that, like a lot of Jonathan's music does. And I think that symphony really directly addresses that horrible time.
So these were the violins of hope. I was watching a little trailer for this album, and I thought this was so interesting. These were like German instruments that were played by Jewish people in concentration camps. And they actually, video for this album, like, they were showing these things. They have like Stars of David on the back of them. And
yep. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The actual violins played on the recording are these violins of hope.
Oh, okay.
In fact,
oh, wow.
These actual instruments that were played by concentration camp victims.
Yeah. Wow. That is intense. It's really beautiful. Well, Jason Viau, I want to thank you for coming back to the Classical Classroom again. It's been awesome to talk to you. Thanks.
Sure. We'll have to do it again sometime, Daisha.
I hope so.
Thank
you. Yeah, thanks. All right, everyone, that does it for this episode. For more Classroom, go to classicalclassroomshow.com. You will not be disappointed, if you know what I mean. And what I mean is that you can listen to all of our past episodes, follow us on social media, and be generally entertained. What did you think I meant? Thanks today to the home of Classical Classroom, King FM, where we pretty much play the Canadian National Anthem and variations thereon all day, every day. Thanks to the birthplace of Classical Classroom, Houston Public Media. Thanks to Gesundtype, our official source for transcriptions and allergy treatments. Thanks to Jason Viau for being on the show. Thanks to me for saying words. Thanks to me for saying words, but most of all, thanks to you for listening. We will catch you next time. Happy Canada Day. For Canada, there are more words to this song. That's all I know, but I will learn some more, 'cause you're a super cool country, and you are to the north. We love you, Canada. I'm going to stop singing now.